Okay, are you ready?
I don't know. I haven't burped yet.
Get it out of your system and then we'll go.
I'm trying, Mike. I'm trying, but it just won't go.
That was a good one, Stephanie.
Oh, that was you!
Hey, everybody.
Oh, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pork Therapy.
Of the elegant and eloquent Belch the Therapy.
Very elegant, very stylish, and very professional, as always.
That's Stephanie.
And that's Mike, who just did that lovely belt, even though he claimed it was me. I can't let him get away with being so modest and not claiming the credit for his great achievements. But
wow, if that was my great achievement, I should just go bury myself now. So we're here on the love sofa, the love seat for another episode.
And we're giving you relationship advice from a liberty perspective.
We are.
We're also giving you a great audio preview of some gas that's coming out of our
something
digestive tract.
I'm still not too happy with the advice in our slogan. Maybe we'll change that someday.
Oh, well, we've already changed it several times. What's another one?
I don't know. So how about, relationship talk from a liberty perspective?
That works for me. All right, relationship talk.
Now we have to change all our websites and business cards and tax forms and licensing.
What are you talking about? We don't pay taxes. Oh, Mike, ever the joker.
I kid.
Anyway.
Oh, IRS, I kid.
If there are any IRS agents listening to this podcast, I don't know if I
hang up now and go hang yourself.
Go hang yourself. That's not very nice, Mike.
Neither is stealing people's tax money.
That is true. How about go quit your job and get a real one?
Yeah, that's right. Go get a job where you're not hurting people 100% of the time you're at work.
You know, I was listening to Wes's podcast, Complete Liberty, a little while ago.
Wes Burton, right?
Right. Uh-huh. And he was talking about how he was looking for a job and he saw some ad for an IRS bureaucrat job. And it paid like $180,000 a year. And they were saying how great benefits and why is it so great to work for the IRS? Because it keeps America strong.
The government strong.
They had some disgusting propaganda going on and to cover up the violence of stealing people's money for a living and basically being a paid thug.
I just saw a Reason TV video podcast, like 5 minutes long, and it pointed out that the government sector average income was like $20,000 more than the public sector.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't even count their benefits.
No, that doesn't count the benefits. And the benefits was like, on average, like 40 to 60 grand higher.
Yeah, and just like 52% of the people are local, state, or national bureaucrats. Yeah, yeah. So,
and when you work for the government, it's near impossible to be fired.
Yeah. So I don't understand how it doesn't just collapse on top of itself because
it does. It every like government the has, is so and this one will. It will. It absolutely. It's just inevitable.
Yeah, it's more inevitable than any. I mean, it's not to say that effort to scale it back. Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm not saying it's inevitable that evil things will die. I'm saying governments corrupt themselves. They do that with their own money.
Yeah.
They do it with their own infrastructure, and that's the definition. Well, it's not the definition, but it's innate to government, and it will collapse. Just a matter of when.
Right.
And I think this government's on its dying end.
Everything turns into a nail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All of you people are nails because the government is a hammer. So, that has nothing to do with
it. I would like to get nailed. How about that?
All right. That's a woo.
I don't want to be a nail, but I would like to get hammered.
Get hammered. You want me to get hammered and you to get nailed?
This analogy is breaking down rapidly. Why don't we actually get to our topic?
Excellent.
Oh, but before we do that, you know what?
We
forgot to pimp our call-in line. We're a little bit lonely here tonight because we're sitting here
all alone in this huge room on the love seat.
Our partners have left us, and
the peanut gallery evacuated.
They evacuated. They jumped ship, and now we're sitting here alone recording a Pork Therapy. But we would be so happy. And we would feel so welcomed and part of a community if you would call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 and leave us a voicemail. Couldn't they talk to us live if they called right now?
Well, we don't know how to do it, but I'm sure I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure
However,
out something.
However, if we're recording a podcast, how are they going to call us right now? They can't hear this.
Oh, that's a good point. Good. You know, this is why I keep you around, Mike.
For all of our mind-reading audience, call us right now.
Yes.
And
you feel the waves just beaming it into your brain.
So you can find us and listen to all our episodes on our website, porktherapy.com. That's pork with a C.
That's right.
You can go to twitter.porktherapy.com and follow us and get announcements of new episodes.
And you can give us money. You can buy us a pork lunch if you want.
We would have a working podcast feed if you donated. It's all your fault, listener.
I think it's a chicken and egg situation. Yeah. They're sitting there saying, we would give you guys some money if they had a working podcast feed.
We are working
maybe they're also
it.
Saying we'd give you guys some money if you weren't so boring.
Or perhaps by the time the show airs, we will have fixed it. Who knows?
We fly by the seat of our pants. We don't let anybody dictate our schedule, right, Mike? We're
That's
anarchists.
Right. You can also find us on Facebook.porktherapy.com and fan us.
And you can also fan us with a fig leaf if you want to. We're sitting
Just
here on
don't
the
fig
seat.
Us. That's a private issue.
It's getting a little bit warm, you know.
Have we really wasted 5.5 minutes this time without the topic?
Mike, that's nothing compared to the time
where
we started talking about Henry David Thoreau and his facial hair and how it was a warm, woolly neck
beard. We are good at not being good.
As a total aside, there's someone who I know who has a wonderful neck beard. It's extremely soft, and it's wonderful to nuzzle them.
Who? Someone hasn't shaved, and it's not Stephanie.
I'm going to say no comments on that
neck
one.
Neck beard? It's a neck 5 o'clock shadow. It's a neck 5 day shadow.
Mike, you have a wonderful neck beard or neck shadow, but yours is not soft. I was actually talking about someone else.
Who? Oh, you can't say names.
But someone who has gone into the woods, just like Thoreau, and now has a warm, woolly neck beard.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I want to know who this person is. I want to feel their fuzzy neck beard.
You know who it is. Anyway, so, Mike, what are we talking about tonight?
So, nothing yet.
What is the pressing issue of the day?
From now on, the question is, what is family and how important is it?
Indeed. And we have another segue into a voicemail that we received, isn't it? Are we going to play that voicemail, or are we just going to pretend that we...
You know what? I think we should play it and read the transcription from the Google
the
service, because it's hilarious.
Let's read the transcription first and see
and
if
then,
we can
yes,
figure out what it is.
The question is...
This is going to be the highlight of the podcast, the most entertaining part of the evening.
So we will get to that theoretically, but let's start with the first half. What is family and how important is it? Okay, well... I think family is very subjective. You can define family however you want.
Oh, yeah. The first thing right off the bat that I thought of when you said that is that people have a born family and maybe they have
biological
a chosen
family.
Right. People they associate with and are close friends and, you know.
To me, I would guess, I haven't looked it up because I don't do research for this show, I would guess that the actual meaning of the word family is your biological relatives.
Yeah.
Depending on the size, how far out you go. A nuclear family versus not, etc. But it's the people you are related to via genes. That's my guess is the definition.
Yeah, but some people are adopted, right? Or they've
That's true.
Right? So they're not actually related to their family
That's
genetically.
True. That's true.
Most people, you're right, Mike. Most people, when they say family, they mean a blood, a genetic relative, right?
Or maybe they don't. Maybe they just mean the group of people that you grew up with. Or that,
maybe.
Or that you raised, if you're on the
parent
end. Or
that you live in the same household as?
Well, not necessarily, because I've had... I don't think most people would consider roommates family. I mean, some do, but
true.
I don't think most would.
No, that's true. But maybe if it was a roommate for 10 years, would then they
that
be
might
part
be.
Of your family?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could be. But that goes on to the chosen family end, and that's my preferred definition. Or if I'm misusing family... Call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 and let me know, and I'll change. But for now, I just think genetics, who I related to genetically or biologically, or who I was forced to live with, and I don't mean force as aggression, I mean force as and I didn't have a choice.
As circumstance.
Yeah,
right?
By circumstance.
Yeah.
Is not that important to me, because I couldn't choose it. And who I choose to be around, who I choose to be intimate with or close with, who I choose as my, perhaps, family, is important to me.
I would disagree that who you are put with as a young child or newborn via the circumstances of life is not important. I think it is important, but I also agree with you that chosen family can be an extremely important part of someone's life, too.
And you're right. I should clarify what I mean by not important to me, because obviously...
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, your genetic family is important evolutionarily.
Yeah, and it's important for the risk of certain diseases. And,
right, and for that matter, when you're a baby and you...
Some people are interested in their genealogy and stuff.
Interested. You're right, so that would be important to them.
Yeah.
Or if you're a baby or an adopted child or adopted baby, then having a family of that definition would be important to you even though you don't know until later, because they raised you. Mm-hmm. They took care of you, they sheltered you, they fed you, whatever. And that's true of me, too. But what I mean by not important to me is... I like people for who they are, for what they believe, for what they think, for what they do.
Sure, and you want to associate with people who have similar core values and beliefs as you do, right?
And it is not a foregone conclusion that the person in your family, by that definition, has values that you like. So, yes, it might be important that Jane is my sister, evolutionarily or genealogically or whatever, but to be, for people that I want to be around, that's irrelevant. It she might also be a person I value and I want to be around her, but she might not, and I will not associate with her.
Sure.
But to me, that's what I meant by important. Important to be around.
Sure, she may not even, you know, for that matter, be a good person, right?
Right. I mean, Hitler had a family.
Had a family, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Or better, maybe a better example would be Manson. Charles Manson had a family.
Sure. And
he in fact, he had a chosen family, for that matter. And he killed them all, but...
I guess that's true. Mike, you always jump to the most... the extreme end of the spectrum. But let's... You know, why don't we delve into that a little bit further? Why do you think people... why do you think people place so much of an importance on the genetic or, you know, biological family that people grew up with? Why is it so
well,
important?
Well, I do not know. I do know that biology and genetics is important evolutionarily. So probably there's something hardwired into our brain that makes us want our closer relatives genetically to survive and thrive.
Sure, probably. Because they're an extension of ourselves because they have some of the same genes, right?
Right. And again, I'm no scientist. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but my guess is
no,
that...
No, you're making perfect sense. It's a rare occasion. I'm just kidding, Mike.
My guess is also that human intelligence, the evolution of human intelligence, can kind of sidetrack evolution. Not natural selection, per se, but we now have the ability to...
Birth control is a great example of that.
or we're soon obtaining the ability via intelligence to, say, become cyborgs or to have artificial intelligence or to do things that would make genetics, not evolution, irrelevant.
Or to select, you know...
Yeah,
there's
to alter genes,
right,
to alter genes,
to select embryos that have certain genes.
Yes.
So,
I don't know where I was going with that.
No, you're making a great point, which is that somehow our intellect... Catches up with, you know, outpaces evolution.
Yes. Or not evolution, genes.
Yeah, genes, yes. Right. The you know, conventional process of evolution where millions and millions of years go by and genes are selected based on the fitness that they confer.
Right.
The phenotype or whatever.
And you asked, why do most people think that the biological family is so important? So I think possibly, evolutionarily, it is hardwired into us to think so, or at least to some degree.
Sure, and that makes total
That's
sense.
That's one reason.
This is often a justification, by the way, that, I will talk about how I feel about this later, but this is a justification that some people give for the fact that people tend to associate with others who look like them, like maybe have their same skin color or dress a certain way or, you know, something like that. And, I mean, I don't know. I would like to think that we could get past that and, you know, kind of... It doesn't matter what someone looks like on the outside, right? It matters how they are on the inside.
Well, see, no, again, it matters... What do you mean it doesn't matter? To whom? It could be important to some people. I think it's pretty shallow to care what color someone's skin is, and instead I think what's in their head, but to some people it might be important.
Yeah,
I don't like those people.
I suppose to some people it might be important, but I think the ideal is that people should be viewed as individuals, and that, you know, means who they are, not what they look like necessarily.
I mean, if you're if you have black skin and you're not a black person, because not all black people are the same. If you believe in Christianity, you're not a Christian, because not all Christians believe the same.
Well,
groups
that's
don't
just
really work.
Grouping
They're just
people
generalizations.
Into, right, yeah. Gross
now,
generalizations.
I do think, though, that this reason is not the most common that people come up with when they think of the importance of a biological family.
No, I don't.
I think the most common is indoctrination, be it not harmful and intentional. Like, it's
like,
cultural.
Oh, I grew up with this family, and so
not just you. Who did not grow up thinking family was important? Who?
Yeah.
Everyone.
That's true. Well, maybe if someone grew up with a family who treated them very poorly and was
that's true.
Abusive and neglectful, maybe
But even it's even remarkably common with familial abuse for the family to say,
oh, well, I
I'm
still love him because
yes,
he's my dad, even though he abused
me. Right,
or
from the other side, I'm your father, you have to love me, or something like that, or your brother, or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And so I think...
Or it's important, people can twist that around and say, well, I'm your brother, you have to come, you know, let me live with you rent-free because I'm having a tough time.
You
have to let me,
right.
You know, you have to do this, lend me some money or do this favor.
Check out Hank Reardon's family in Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, yeah. So, when blood is thicker than water, right?
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's all these idioms and all these expressions and all these mores that...
That's an interesting one because blood is thicker than water.
It's kind of violent.
Well, it means, I guess, family is more important than not. Why is it so good that blood is thicker? Why is good thickness good? Well when talking about blood.
Immediately, both of us jumped to the cock joke. I just love doing this podcast with you, Mike. It's so entertaining. But you know, when we're thinking of the same puns, that we're really really have a close intellectual connection, and maybe we're a chosen family of each other.
I choose you, Pokemon. No, wait. I do choose you.
Who are you, Pokemon?
Oh, man, that was bad.
Well, anyway, getting back to chosen family, you know what I thought of when you said that? Mm-mm. I think this is just like an association that comes up in my mind when I hear chosen family.
Uh-huh.
People who are ostracized by their family because they have an unconventional lifestyle, okay, or an unconventional job, like maybe they're a sex worker, or maybe they're some weird religion, or maybe they're not following the weird religion of their family,
yeah,
and they're an atheist. And so they are ostracized from their biological family, but then they choose a group of people with a similar interest,
like,
in, yes, that thing to associate with.
Like-minded values.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And like... Yeah, I mean, I think that actually happens a lot with religion. Yeah. You
know, I would say that when I first moved to New Hampshire a year and a half ago for the Free State Project, I chose to have a family of hundreds of people, and I was very pleased with it. And now, a year and a half later, I've kind of, lessened that down? What do you call it when you filter, whatever?
Become more selective?
Yeah, I guess so. I think I have a chosen family of, 50 people, maybe 100 now that I like and I've gotten to know better over the year. But my biological family is essentially not important to me just by the fact that they're my biological family.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a lot in common with many of them.
Yeah.
They have very status beliefs. I used to have a lot more in common with my brother, but he has even changed after going through a cancer experience. And so,
oh, wow.
And so I really don't relate to my family. I don't talk to them anymore because just I don't like them. We don't have anything much in common.
Yeah, and you don't talk about them. Like, it's pretty clear. You know, you and I are pretty good friends. We talk a lot and often. And I almost never hear you talk about your family because I guess they're just not a big part of your life.
Yeah, they're just not very important to me.
And you know what? If that's...
I don't mean that hurtfully because in case they listen to this, I've told them this numerous times, but I don't hate them. I don't dislike them. I just don't want to be around them. We don't have enough in common to make it enjoyable.
Sure.
And that can be hurtful even though it's unintentional.
Yeah. I know, especially when people are so in the mindset of, well, it's my family, I have to love them unconditionally,
yeah,
I have to be them, I have to always be there for them, I have to have a
relationship
with them.
I have to go to Christmas, I have
even,
to let my brother sleep with me when he's out of the job or whatever.
Let your brother sleep with
you. Sleep in my place, whatever. I have to house my brother when he demands it.
You don't have any obligation to be that close. anyway... I really didn't mean to take this discussion
but
in that direction.
Do.
We always do.
Inevitable.
So, I think, Mike, I definitely agree with you there. I think that maybe people should examine the mindset of, well, this is my family, and so even if I have nothing in common with them, even if I don't get along with them, I still have to make an effort to be with them and spend time with them.
Yeah, and you know, if
just because they're my family.
And if you choose a family, if you choose people you like or friends or whatever you want to call them, You usually don't feel an obligation to hang around them when they're mean to you, when they're abusive,
when they make you feel bad about yourself, this friend is
undependable, this friend hurts me a lot, I'm not going to be their friend anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that with a mom or a brother. They're still your mom or brother, but you don't have to associate with them.
Right.
Are we kind of leading into the second part yet?
Yeah,
I think
we actually are. So, you know, maybe we should...
what we're going to do is
read the
Google transcription of this voicemail question.
This is
let you ponder it for a second, and then we'll actually play the voicemail.
Should we give away a prize to the listener who understands what this voicemail actually is?
Do we have a prize?
Oh, we always have a prize stuffed in our pants somewhere.
Wow, I didn't know it was a public prize.
Well, it's yours, so of course it's public.
Yeah, you can have this prize if we go on a date tomorrow night, which we'll hit at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, you know the drill.
All right, so the transcription of this question
Who's gonna read it?
You want to read it or me?
Well, I can read it.
Wait, which one? Which question are we doing?
It's this one.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Mike, and I'm leaving question because I want to see what this new calling line is like. 1419 Chi-Chi. Love. 4. And because I'm traveling right now, a lot of question myself, but I want to remember commercial later. So the question is, it's a lot of unconditional and, if so, if that's good. Hi! I love how it ends with hi. So listeners, if you could make a hide nor hair of that... of that weird translation. We couldn't either, so we're going to actually play you the voicemail.
We'll play you the voicemail, and then we'll talk about the question.
All right.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike, and I'm leaving a question because I want everyone to see what this new call-in line is like. 1-419-PT-LOVE-4. And because I'm traveling right now, I thought of a good question myself that I'd want to remember for the show later. So the question is love unconditional? And if so, is that good? Bye.
What a great question.
What a great question asker. I should get to know that guy.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy. I know him very well, actually. So, is love unconditional, and is that good?
Well, the long and the short of it is that was me asking a question.
I don't know what to say. That was so profound, Mike.
Okay. I was testing out
I
our call in line, but it is a good question.
Yoda on that one to have an outside consult.
Profound question it was.
Have you had sex with your friends lately, Yoda?
700 years old I am. Oh. Sex not as common. I don't know. Maybe in his race that they have sex more often when they get old. I don't know.
I would like to think that's true.
Okay, so where the heck were we?
Is love unconditional? And should it be? What was the actual question? I don't remember it. Is love unconditional? And if so, is that good?
Okay. I don't think love is unconditional. Do you? To me, a familial love, you have to love someone because he's your dad or whatever. That means unconditional. Or that's one example of unconditional love. And that means to me that...
We might have an
audio glitch there, so I'll restate that.
That waveform looked like a giant penis.
Wow.
Sorry, Mike. I'm not going to interrupt you. Go ahead. You have the podium. Go ahead.
So what is unconditional love? Love that does not matter on the reciprocation, or for that matter, the values or anything on the other end, right? So unconditional love might be...
Yeah, you love someone no matter what.
Right. And I don't think that is love.
No matter how shitty of a person they are, no matter how bad they treat you.
Right. So when you say you love a person no matter what, I say that's not good, I don't mean loving a person that you have the same values of and you think they're a good person is bad, because that fits under that description.
Mm-hmm.
I mean loving someone even though they beat you up every day
is
bad, because that's unconditional love.
Sure.
I mean... loving someone because you have to, because you're my brother, you have to love me, is bad. What if you don't love them? What if they do things that hurt you or hurt others or have values that you don't like or are lazy and you don't like that or whatever?
But then would you actually love them? I mean,
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Some people define love in such a way that they would love that person.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. To me, love is an exchange of values. It's seeing in someone else what you wish or what you want to be true for you.
Hmm.
Or something to that effect. So, like... what I like about you is you're intelligent and you're open-minded and you're experimental and you're happy and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I necessarily am those, but it means I like those things.
Yeah.
I don't just love you because you're pretty, which is also true. I don't love my brother because he's my brother. That's meaningless to me. I didn't choose my brother.
What's the value in him being your brother other than that you're genetically related to him?
Right. And that might be important in some genetically related situation, but it's not love to me.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I think what you're saying made a lot of sense. Like, if you actually love someone, you value things about them or traits that they have or some certain things about them, and your love is based on those. And if they start, you know, suddenly being a bad person when before you loved them because they were so nice to you and they treated you so well, then why should you still love them?
Yeah,
I guess you don't.
Yeah.
They're not really the same person that you loved.
Exactly.
Right?
People change in life, whether it's for the better or worse or you know, in your perspective or not. And look at a relationship that is healthy and you do love each other. And then after 5, 10, 20 years, whatever, one of the people... I don't know, becomes abusive, let's say, or they lose their job and they get all depressed or whatever, and they become abusive. Must you love them simply because you promised to love them for the rest of your life? Which is foolish, by the way, because you don't know what the rest of your life will hold, but let's say you did make that promise, I love you till you die.
Mm-hmm.
That means even if they change and they start sexually raping babies, You promised to love them. I know, an extreme example.
You had to go there.
I have to. But
well, that's why I love
okay,
you.
Okay, let's take it less. Let's say
you always go to extreme.
Even if they don't go that extreme, but they change into something you no longer like, why must you continue to love them?
Well, I don't think you can really control it.
No, but that's what unconditional love means, that you should. If it's unconditional, then you love them even if they're Hitler. That's what unconditional means, is it not?
Right, yeah.
It means, no matter what the conditions, I will love you. And that just does not love to me. That is, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's something that doesn't sound like love to me. But can we take another...
Yeah, please. I want to get off raping babies and Hitler, no problem.
You want to get off raping
Not get
babies.
Off on it. I want to get off that topic.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, Mike. No one's going to want to go on a date with you if you keep making these
Well,
rides.
No one has yet. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was going to say, I think there's a difference of degrees with unconditional love, where some people, when they say unconditional love, they're talking about, well... you know, you fall in love with someone and then all of a sudden they become sick or they get really fat or something like
yeah.
that. And then do you stop loving them because there's this one kind of superficial thing that's, you know, now changed about them?
I think it's the same though. It's just a matter of degree. Like
right,
I went
it is.
Straight
it's
to the most extreme, disgusting
sure.
change. But yeah, let's say someone is fit and you love them for, you know, they give to charity and they believe in the same religion you as you and whatever, and you love them.
Yeah.
And then they get really fat. That's one thing, and it's pretty cosmetic if
right.
they remain otherwise healthy.
Uh-huh.
Do you still love them despite that? Well, that's right. up to you. And, I mean, for me, it's not unconditional. If someone changes, and it's in a way I don't like, be it cosmetic or some principle or something, because I've changed my values over time.
Sure, yeah.
Then I would have to... talk to that person and find out about the change, and if they're going in their path and I'm going in mine, then I'd have to say I don't love you as much, or I don't like you as much anymore, or
right, as much. That's the key word, because I think it's silly to think of love as an on-off switch.
Yes,
right?
That was my
it's
super extreme black and white example.
Sure,
if Shirley Temple turns into Hitler, that's just then it's an on-off situation, but that doesn't happen
oh
in reality.
God.
So
I would like to see that, actually. I think that would be kind of interesting
that
to
might
watch.
Be a good horror movie.
She starts to sprout some hair, and then she
and
goes,
a mustache.
Then she a mustache.
Shirley Temple with a Hitler mustache.
Oh,
come
God.
On, you Photoshop wizards, do that and send it in to us at questions@porktherapy.com.
How did we end up talking about this, Mike?
Well, if someone changes, because people
right.
change, if someone changes enough that you decide not to love them or love them differently, mm-hmm. that means it's not unconditional. It is based on conditions.
Right, it is conditions. And I don't really see anything wrong with that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I think that's just what it is. Love is not unconditional.
So we answered the question.
Yeah. And if so, is love unconditional? And I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, or if not, is that good? I think it is what it is. Is that good or bad? I think I enjoy the way love is. I think it's just in the nature of how people interact. Do you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's good.
But the reason that we put these two questions together
uh-huh.
and tied them
oh,
together
yes.
was that some people say that you should the type of love that you have for your family is unconditional, because no matter what, you will always be family, and if the love is based on you being family,
then it has to be
unconditional, because you're always
actually,
going to be family.
Actually, ironically, there is one condition then. It's just that the condition
that
never
family.
Yes, yes. But that's just a technicality.
Yeah.
I don't think that just because you will always be family, you also must love them. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense.
In both directions. I mean, if your dad is Hitler, if your son is Hitler, you don't have to love someone. And there's an extreme example again.
Sure.
But...
and now we're repeating ourselves and talking about Hitler way too much and talking about Shirley
I
Temple.
I love
so...
Hitler.
Just
kidding.
Yeah, apparently you also love dead babies. And
no,
Mike,
don't
is,
love any of it.
This
I'm
is a whole new side of you that I've never seen. I don't think I love you anymore.
Oh, I've changed. All right,
anyway,
are we done?
Yeah, I think we're all done.
All right, let's take care of some business.
Yeah, well.
Because if we don't.
I hope you know where to find us by now. I think you've been listening.
Yeah, but we hopefully we'll be garnering new listeners every now and then.
I hope so. We managed to con a couple of people of listening to our podcast, and then they...
If you like us, please...
and they wise up to it.
Consider suggesting to your friends that they might like us, and they can find us at porktherapy.com.
That's right, and porktherapy with a C.
And you or they can send us your questions, real or fake, funny or not,
mm-hmm.
to questions@porktherapy.com.
And you can also call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4, and you can leave us a funny voicemail, and we promise to read your translation and keep the listeners guessing about what it actually says, and then we'll play your voicemail.
And then we'll talk about it. And if you want to give your name, do, and if you don't, don't.
Sure.
You can find us at facebook.porktherapy.com, twitter.porktherapy.com.
And if you want to be really anonymous, you can email us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com. And if you are one of those ladies or guys out there who is into...
Or dead babies or Hitler.
Or dead babies or Hitler into... Especially if you are Hitler. I think Mike wants you to email him because he's
I would love
always,
to date Hitler. I want to find out if he really has one ball.
Overload. I can't speak. It's the first time this has happened on Pork Therapy. I am not able to speak. And that is where we're going to leave you. I'm not even going to give out Mike's email address because I don't condone this behavior.
I am joking, boy.
Oh, yes, you are.
All right, and, thanks for listening.
Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Peace out. Okay, we have a little bonus material for you because we were talking with...
This is a little add-on, an interesting set.
With someone in the peanut gallery, and although I use totally extreme examples for the humor of it and to really enunciate the point, I am joking, but the person in the peanut gallery just told us of a real example from their real life. Their friend's son raped and killed their sister. So, surely, let's just call this person Joe and the son Bob.
Yes.
Joe surely loved Bob, his son.
Right.
And then at some point, 18, 20 years later, Bob...
Killed Joe's sister.
Raped
and killed her, yeah.
And so, should he continue loving Bob? Maybe. I mean, he's struggling with it now, and I certainly wouldn't if I knew for a fact that happened.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, an extreme example in real life without any humor.
Yeah, that's tough. You know what that makes me think of?
Nope.
Well, sometimes people are so in this paradigm of, well, if it's someone in my family, I have to love them. That they say, you know, if someone in their family does something heinous, well, I'm going to disown them. They're no longer my family. And so, therefore, no. I'm able to not love
them. They can get around it. They can say, well, I have to love my family, but I'll make you no longer my family.
Right, exactly.
And then they're playing with the definition of family.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but whatever works for you.
It's funny that that paradigm is, like, so strong.
It's so important.
That they feel that they have to get around it, basically, by saying that the person is not their family anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, I was just defending my ridiculous examples, and so thanks again for listening.
Well, that's a sad note to end on.
Oh, yeah, let's come up with a joke. Let's talk about those little energy balls that I just ate.
Oh, my God. I gave Mike an energy ball.
And it looked like a little round chocolate...
nugget
of poop when I was eating it. And so she laughed at that.
Oh, this is Mike.
Isn't that a funnier way? That's a funnier way to end.
It's better. Yes, it's better than this.
Because it's not poop. Get it? Get the joke?
Yeah.
Should we just erase that whole thing?
No.
Oh, man.
We don't do any editing on this podcast. That's the rule.
All right.
And
then
we're
going
to
leave on
sticking to
this.
It. It's unconditional. It's hard and fast. And
well, now we're laughing. Let's end it quick.
Yes. Hard
and
fast
before we get to a hard and fast joke.
I think we already got to it. Too late. Damn.
All right. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.